In this episode of Aside the Data, we talk with Corinia Gibler about how organizations store their data, and in particular using data lake systems. I'm Anton Yeshenko, and welcome to A Side of Data, a podcast about unconventional side of data science. Today on the show is Corinia Gibler, who is a PhD student at the University of Stuttgart, and who I met earlier this year at Conceptual Modeling Conference. I really like the topics she works on, that is about data lakes, or data swamps, or you name it. And that we make a topic of today's episode. So welcome to the show, Corinia. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing fine, thank you. How
are
you?
I'm very good. The first question I would ask, and we'd start off about what is the data lake? Why should we care about it?
Okay, so the data lake first emerged in 2010. Mm-hmm. And back then, the idea was just to have a Hadoop cluster and just throw all of your raw data on it. So in contrast to a data warehouse where you prepare the data and you already know what you're going to do with the data, you just keep your data in a raw state so that you can use it for whatever purpose you might have in mind later on. Mm-hmm. So, and this idea did not change very much. So it still is the same idea. You store data in a raw format so that you don't have to know beforehand what you want to do with it later on.
So it's basically data lakes is a concept by which you store the data, or what is it?
Yes, it's a concept by which you store and manage raw data. So not pre-processed in any way, just the way it comes from your source systems, you directly ingest it into the data lake and store and manage it there and use it for analytics. So it's not just a content management system or anything, but it's used for analytics.
Mm-hmm. And if you contrast with other concepts, which ones will they be?
Okay, so the contrast concept is the data warehouse. Where I have to know, so I have a use case in mind. And depending on that use case, I select the data, I extract the data from my data sources, I transform the data, and I load them into my data warehouse. And then in the end, I can do my analytics on it. But very, very specified use cases. Mm-hmm. And for the data lake, I do not know what I want to do with the data in the end. So I just use all my data. I do not select certain data and throw away others. I just keep all my data together and I do not transform it in any way. So I copy it from the source systems directly. I ingest it in my data lake and all transformations are applied later on. So I do not lose any information in contrast to the data warehouse, where I specifically select what information I keep and what information I get rid of.
And these data lakes and data warehouse, you describe them as different concepts, but are they implemented the same way?
They are implemented the same way is maybe a bit said too much, but there are similarities. So for both of them, I do have a central data storage, which for data warehouses typically is built on like relational databases, but for data lakes, I do store any kind of data. So structured, semi-structured, unstructured. So I also use NoSQL technologies. I might use an HDFS, Hadoop distributed file system. So different kinds of storage systems, but there are also big data warehouses that are built the same way. So in a big data warehouse, I typically also have like NoSQL systems and maybe even a Hadoop added to it. And there are a lot of similarities, as in I have to get the data into my data lake and into my data warehouse. But the transformation steps, for example, that I apply as I load the data in the data warehouse, that those I will just do later, in a later stage. So basically, the main difference is that the transformation steps come later in a data lake. And I do not select a subset of the data, but instead I store everything in my data lake. which I wouldn't do in my data warehouse.
Any situation you could describe that where data lakes would be more suitable than just relational database and data warehouse?
So for example, imagine you do have a factory and a production line. You do have a lot of machines that produce goods of any sort. And you do, you measure those goods, you measure their quality, you measure, how thick is the material, you take pictures of them and whatnot. And then you ship your products to your customers. And what happens is that there's a defect in your products, but you don't know where it comes from, okay? So you do get, you receive defect reports, this product breaks somewhere. And you're trying to find out what is the cause of it. So what you do is you go into your data, which you still have everything of. So it's a very new use case, okay? Mm-hmm. You could not foresee that this is how you're going to use your data. So, but you still have it all because you stored it in a raw state. You still have it the same way as it was when you received it. Mm-hmm. So now you can go through your data, you can train a machine learning model, you can analyze your data and find the root cause of the problem in your product by using your sensor data or whatever, and your pictures and the structured data that you might have added about the product itself and so on and so on.
Okay.
So the main use cases for data lakes are those are explorative ones. Like the question arises on the go, okay? I do not know beforehand what I'm going to do with the data, but like at some point a question arises and I want to answer it. And so I just go into my data and see what I can find. So
I would assume this technology, like we had this data booming, that there are more and more data coming. So mm-hmm. I would assume that the main obstacle is that there are too much data to store after processing in data lakes. Should be a horrible experience in a way of,
yes,
if you just throw everything there.
Yes, that is why data lake management is so very, very important. So the first few ideas of data lakes were basically you set up a Hadoop and you throw everything in there. But people soon realized that that is not how things work. What happened was that a data swamp developed. So data swamp means it's a data lake where you cannot generate value from. You do not know what your data is, you don't see your data, you don't know where it is, and you cannot trust it anymore.
Okay, so data swamp, it's basically just a classification of data lake that's saying that,
yes,
okay, it's a very bad data lake.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It's a polluted data lake in a way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, your quality is unknown, or you cannot find data anymore. You don't even know what data you might have, and that is a data swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And so people soon realized that they needed metadata management, they needed governance, and they needed even data modeling. So while you want to keep your data as raw as possible, you might still need to model it so that you know how data belongs together. You need to integrate it. You need to consolidate it. All these things are necessary to actually build a data lake.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the important thing here is data lake management. And that is where the challenge is, because everybody can just take raw data and throw them into NoSQL databases, right? But what differentiates a pure data storage from a data lake is the management.
Mm-hmm. Because I also start to think about, for example, if you read use cases of like storing data on the Google servers or any other servers, the main question is how often will you access the data, or how often will you rewrite the data? And then the price, for example, changes. So when you create the data lake and you don't have, like, you have no idea how you will use it later, then that means you probably will lose a lot of money,
mm-hmm,
because you will not choose properly
the
type of access you need. So what do you think about that?
That is indeed a problem. So what people tend to do is, for one, they build data lakes as hybrids. So part of the data lake is on-premise, and a part of it is in the cloud on external servers and so on. So you can, for example, data that you use often, you could still build in a data warehouse-like structure, And that data that you do not use often but still want to store, you can put into your cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one thing they do. What also is done very often is that you organize your data lake into so-called zones. And each zone applies certain processing steps on the data. And this, the data in the first zone, which is the raw zone, is not accessed as often as the data in the last zone that is prepared for specific uses. But you still have the raw data for later on. So that is what people do. So they separate between often accessed data and data that is just there for maybe we need it.
That's interesting because
I
like the word that you said about the zones, because I can imagine this city and then this buzz zones. Okay, there's a core city mm-hmm. that then you access it every day mm-hmm. and then yeah. there's like going outwards. There's like second, yeah. third and fourth zone that it's more expensive, but it's accessed usually with for less people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. yes, it is very similar. It is very similar, but the main thing about zones is that even if I have my data in that very last zone where it is prepared and usable for everybody and accessed very frequently, I still have the data in its raw format in the very first zone.
Ah,
so
okay.
I duplicate data so that I do not lose any information along the way. Which makes my data lake more expensive because I have to store more data, but it also makes it more efficient, and I can like separate frequently accessed data and non-frequently accessed data mm-hmm. better. Some data lakes also include an archiving concept where data is then moved to an archiving zone. Mm-hmm. That's rather rare, actually.
Actually, I think I misinterpreted the zones, because now it's more clear that kind of in the first zone you store this raw data, and then in the next zones you make some samples of that data that is somehow pre-processed. And I'm working with process mining, and we have the same. We can have raw data, and then we can sample like event logs that are just some view on that data, and then we can sample them in different ways, and I guess that will be the second zone.
Yeah, that's right, yes. But typically the first zone is accessed way less frequently than the last zone where things are like prepared for use.
That's nice.
It's one of the main topics I'm working on, so.
Oh yeah, so maybe you can tell in short what you're working on.
I am actually working on how data lake architecture in general, where the zone concept is one of many data lake architectures. So a huge challenge for data lakes is that the work done on data lakes is super diverse. There are a lot of contradictions. There are a lot of gaps. There are a lot of concepts that are not evaluated in any way or assessed or whatever. You don't even know whether they work or whether just someone threw something out there. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to develop a data lake architecture that you can use as some sort of data lake blueprint or where you can like sort in your different concepts. And the zone architecture is a major part in this. Because those zones allow you to keep all your raw data, but also increase efficiency. Because what you do is you prepare your data, you pre-process your data across these different zones, and then you can you don't have to apply all the transformations anew when you try to reuse the data, right? But you can like take the already pre-processed data and work with that. So you are more efficient when you're trying to do the same use cases over and over and over again, because you don't always have to start from zero. And that is a major part of what I do, plus some how do data move inside a data lake? How are they processed? What are the different steps of processing that are applied to data in a data lake? Because there is some kind of processing, else you cannot use them.
Okay, that's interesting, especially, I guess, you said that these concepts are not well researched or there are many gaps, because I would assume that is because it's a very practical topic and it's not very much research oriented.
Yes, it's a very practical topic, and most of the literature that you find on data lakes are actually white papers or also a lot of blog entries from the websites of different companies. So IBM is very big on publishing things about data lakes, but there are also other other companies, like for example Zaloni, that do sell the data lake out of a box. And that makes it very hard for research, because they do not open their concepts. They just say, hey, we can do this and that, and hey, we have a data lake, but you don't know how they do it. Which is on one hand very nice, because you can just say, hey, nothing exists, we're going to do it on our own, and we're doing the research now. But it's also very difficult, because people go, oh, we already have all that, and then you have to explain to them why what you already have is not good enough for research.
Sounds complicated.
It's a bit complicated, yeah. But that's also something that is very interesting about the topic, right? There are a lot of challenges, and you can see data lakes from many different perspectives, and try and solve these challenges. And that's actually very interesting. It's what I like a lot about the topic.
And you said that it was this concept was introduced in 2010. Before that? And what was the main thing that it brought? And yeah, maybe we can discuss like a little bit more on also use cases.
So what was before the data lake? Basically data warehouses. So when companies wanted to do analytics on the data, they used a data warehouse. But then what happened was that we got more and more data sources. We applied sensors in everywhere, basically. We noticed that even when analyzing emails, for example, there's a lot of hidden value in there. For example, you could do process mining on emails, right? You could try to understand who sends an email to who and how the structure inside your organization works. And then you could try and improve it. So make communication ways faster, improve communication overall. And people noticed that doing this with a data warehouse is very difficult, because sometimes questions arise on the go and you do not know the question when you design your data warehouse. And also what people noticed is that when a new question arises, it takes a very long time from the idea to actually usable data. Okay, so you have the idea, you communicate with IT, IT tries to incorporate your idea into the data warehouse, and that takes a very, very long time. And that was basically when the idea of the data lake became big, because the idea was that there is self-service, people can themselves access raw data, the data is there, you can just go grab it and do with it whatever comes to your mind. So yeah, if you have the idea, oh, maybe we can increase our production by doing XYZ, and then you go just into your data, you take your data into a sandbox and you start doing machine learning on your data, and then to extract what you can do to improve your efficiency, for example. And that was not possible with the data warehouse. So yeah, the data lake was introduced in 2010, but it did not get popular until 2016, 17. So somewhere around that. It's a rather new concept still. And it's mostly applied in practice and only slowly coming up in research. But yeah, data lake use cases are typically those where you just go grab your data and do with it whatever comes to mind. And typically machine learning is a very big data lake use case, because you do not know beforehand which features will be important for your machine learning model. So you need raw data that still contains all the features and is not filtered in any way, because if you filter it or transform it, you might lose what is important.
Yeah. I mean, I also was doing machine learning, and I that you then use some analysis to find your features, right? To find the data that you need to use. That's I guess that's very in time for the latest developments. And let's assume that I'm a company and I have, I don't know, production line as you described before, and so my question would be, okay, Is there any software that I can use? Is there anything you can recommend like right away to start to use?
There are different companies that provide data lakes. So as I said, IBM mm-hmm. provides data lake services. I've just found that Google allows you to create a data lake on their cloud. Amazon does have some data lake management systems on their AWS. And there are also companies that sell this data lake out of the box. You can also try building your own data lake, of course. So what you can do is you can always set up an NoSQL landscape or some databases for whatever data you have. You can also have a relational data lake that is built on relational databases. But whatever data you have, you store them in appropriate data storage. And then you put data management on top. So-called data catalogs that allow you to record the data that is in your data lake and to find it. Yeah, so you can search these catalogs, you can find the data, you can access the data. And then you do have functioning data lake, but you also need to take care of all the governance issues. How do you secure data quality? How do you secure data privacy, security, and all these things? Those are all things that you also have to think about. But for the first draft, if you're just like, oh, I'd like to play around with my data a bit, you can just throw it into a database, put metadata management on top, and then you have something that works.
Okay.
As a tiny data lake. If you want to do it a company-wide data lake, there are some more things to consider
mm-hmm.
because you do have to manage your data very carefully to maintain quality and understandability and all these kind of things.
And maybe you could recommend something to get into data lake, some resources, or maybe then you can send me, I will link them to the episode.
There are
some blog posts or mm-hmm. books or whatever exists.
There are some scientific papers. There are a lot of literature reviews on data lakes that try to summarize the original concept and how it developed over the years. And I can send you a list of links of
mm-hmm.
references right. for sure. Because the problem is if you just Google data lake, you'll get a million of results and they contradict each other and they have different views or they're super abstract and you don't understand what it's about at all. So best is actually to look into these literature review kind of articles in journals or from the research side, because those try to condense all the information that is out there. Because the issue is everybody wants to say something about data lakes, but not everybody does so with the care that is necessary.
Especially if you say that some software vendors also kind of, they close and they show how exactly they do it. So then everyone can just say, okay, we're doing these data lakes, but what exactly? It's like about machine learning that everyone says we do it, but how they do it. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same thing, actually. It's very, 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 very similar to the machine learning or AI hype. Yeah, everybody says they're doing it, but nobody says how they do it.
Okay, that's nice. Okay, I think I am out of questions for now.
Okay.
Thank you very much for interview.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for listening for this episode of A Side of Data. In case you have questions, follow them to asideofdata@protonmail.com or reach us at Twitter @asideofdata. Subscribe for more episodes in the future.